Good morning. Thank you for standing by. Welcome to the 2008 conference call of CPFL Energia. We have Mr. Wilson Ferreira Jr., CEO of CPFL Energia, and Mr. José Antonio de Almeida Filippo, Financial Vice President and Head of Investor Relations, and other officers of the company. This call is being broadcasted simultaneously through the Internet on the investor relations website of CPFL Energia at www.cpfl.com.br/ir, where you will also find the presentation for downloading purposes. We inform that all participants will be in listen-only mode during the call, during the company's presentation, and after the presentation, there will be a question-and-answer session when further instructions will be given. Should any participant need assistance during this call, please press star zero for an operator. It is important to mention that this conference call is being recorded. Before proceeding, let me mention that forward-looking statements that might be made during this call related to the outlook of business for CPFL Energia, projections and operating and financial targets are beliefs and assumptions by the company management, as well as information currently available to the company. Forward-looking statements are not guarantees of performance. They involve risks, uncertainties, and assumptions because they relate to future events, and therefore they depend on circumstances that might or might not occur. Investors must understand that general economic conditions, industry conditions, and other operating factors could also affect the future results of CPFL Energia and lead to results that differ materially from those expressed in such forward-looking statements. Now, I would like to give the floor to Mr. Wilson Ferreira Jr. Mr. Ferreira Jr., you may proceed. Good morning. Thank you very much. Thank you for being with us during this conference call for the fourth quarter of 2008 results. I would like to welcome analysts and investors that are accompanying this call, and we have about 25 slides to present to you. And I will let you know the number of the slides I'm talking about. So let's talk first about the highlights for 2008. Particularly the fourth quarter. On page number two, we have the major figures for the company. We can see here a growth of 3.1% in our net revenues for 2008, during the fourth quarter a drop of 4%, and this already reflects the impact of the crisis during the fourth quarter, and we will try to show you that these amounts, the behavior mainly in the energy market, is picking up, and we have important elements to share with you today. The company EBITDA dropping 16% in the year, reaching $2,808, during the fourth quarter 10.5, and it is important to stress here that we will also detail this during the presentation, and the impact in 2008 stemming from the tariff review in our distribution companies. And on the last line, net income of $1,276,000, a drop of 22%. And you can see in the quarter a behavior which is already better of 9.3% drop, reaching 376 million reals, which are the highlights of these results, mainly in the fourth quarter. First, the growth in our total energy sales in the fourth quarter of 3.4%, in the year 4.6%. It is important to stress that the fourth quarter was, in fact, the quarter where we had the greatest impact of the crisis, such as the rest of the world. Still, as important highlights, we have the beginning of operation of the Castro Alves plant in February last year, but also the 14th of July, with startup on December 25th, 2008. This means that today we only have one under construction, one large one under construction, and we will detail We created Bioenergia, and we closed the first year with the Baudin plant with 98 million reais investment, about 100 million reais. Startup scheduled for March 2010. The expansion of new businesses, very important part with the reinforcement to increase loyalty on the part of our clients with value-added services and operations regarding collection of accounts and CPFL Total and CPFL Atende clients. Carbon credits trading, 7 million reais in 2008. The announcement of provisional indices for the second tariff review cycle for Paulista, RGE and Piratininga because of the effect, namely of the review regarding the regulatory, net regulatory basis and the final results in our five small hydropower plants in São Paulo, Santa Cruz, and the CPFL Jaguaruna distribution companies. Improvement in our credit rating by S&P for AA+. Also we are stating now payout of 1.208 billion in dividends, reaching a dividend yield of 7.3% in the last 12 months. It is important to stress in this call that the company is already preparing the manual for participation for the shareholders general meeting that will occur on April 23rd, the proxy statement. On page number three, we show that last year, besides the effects of tariff review and some having to do with reconciliations, et cetera, we had some non-recurrent results as well. Especially for analysts who are accompanying us, it is important for you to know which are the recurrent and non-recurring effects. When we look at the 2008 results, they are a little bit different from the ones we have just talked about when we consider on the left here the non-recurring effects of 2007. I believe you remember the recalculation of the Paulista tariff review applied in 2006, with effects in 2007, referring to Itaipu, for instance, fiscal credits that were incorporated positively to CPFL Geração when Cimesa was incorporated, expenses with hedge in the acquisition of Jaguaruna, and write-off of regulatory assets and liabilities related to the free energy losses in 2008, besides the extraordinary effects of the tariff review, with the acquisition of energy due to delay in the Castro Alves and 14 de Julho plants, and the pass-through of the CUSDG costs by the generation companies, which was closed earlier this year during the first meeting of ANEEL this year, and which has positive effects as well. If we exclude these positive and negative effects of 2007, 2008 as recurrent effects, we have our net revenues going up by 4.5%, EBITDA dropping by 8.8%, and net income dropping 9.7%, which would be 1.412 billion instead of 1.276 billion that we have just reported. These are important data because it is 2008, especially as CPFL has focused on distribution. This is a year that is very clearly affected by the tariff review, as is the rule of the game. The company had an increase in productivity in earnings, and there is a resetting here on new basis, and as of now, the company starts to work to do the same thing that we did along four or five years, which means increasing our base and adding productivity, increasing, improving our quality of service, and sharing good results, good earnings with our shareholders and good results with our consumers. Page number four, just a report of our corporate structure. We will be showing you here some operations that we will be developing over the next few days. We have two highlights here to show you. Free float reaching 28.2%, and VBC with an operation that you already know, that has already been disclosed to the market, where the Camargo Correia Group acquires the Votorantim interest in the group. On page number five, details of a relevant operation, a material operation here that corresponds to the incorporation of Perassi by CPFL Jaguariúna. I would like to remind you that Perassi was the acquisition vehicle created by CPFL in order to acquire the assets of CMS in Brazil. This incorporation is important because it establishes a fiscal benefit of 47 million. The goodwill of this operation, higher than 126 million, corresponds to 47 million reais in tax benefits. What we will have, and the conclusion deadline is March 30th, and after that, we will see the incorporation of CPFL Jaguariúna as well. Each one of distribution companies linked to CPFL Energia, such as required by the regulatory model of Brazil. We will have the alignment of assets, CPFL Planalto and CPFL Serviços, the commercialization company and the service company as well, coming from the CMS group. Finally, the incorporation to CPFL Geração on our Geração line. Here, the vehicle where we have participation in Paulista Lajeado and Investco. A simplification of our overall structure. The base date for us to conclude this operation after the approval by ANEEL later in 2008 is March 30th. This is the deadline. Now, page number seven, starting details, and I think this is important, the next few slides. It is important to show you the behavior of the market in the past, and mainly some perspectives sharing with you, investors and analysts, part of our view regarding perspectives about energy consumption in the country during the first half of this year. Here we have the southeast region and the south region of Brazil, where we have a major participation with our distribution companies and residential and commercial segments first, meaning in the fourth quarter of 2008. We saw an increase in salaries by 8%, 20% increase in sales of furniture and home appliances, 13% increase in retail sales in São Paulo in 2008. You can see that on the lower part here, you have a similar behavior for the south, 9% instead of 8% in salaries, 12% increase in furniture and home appliances, and 7% in retail sales. These are important data, and they determined the volumes of energy sales that we will now share with you in the next few slides. I think we should mention also that as far as temperatures are concerned, 2008 had lower temperatures, particularly during the fourth quarter. Here we have details about Campinas, Sorocaba, and Santos, and which affect mainly our concessionaires in the southeast region. You can see that during the fourth quarter, and here on a comparison with the third quarter, which is exactly when the crisis triggered, there is a strong impact on the industrial segment with a reduction in production by 8% in the overall São Paulo state, where the most affected sectors are those related to the automotive industry. Metallurgy, -14%, automotive, -14%, steel, -10%, machines and equipment, -8%. On the other hand, some other sectors went through the crisis and in spite of that, achieved some growth, which is the food sector, for instance. The behavior of the automotive sector can be reproduced in Rio Grande do Sul as well, as you can see, with a reduction of 10% in industrial production, a more marked decrease than in the southeast. In the southeast, chemical products -21% and automotive vehicles -13%. The impact was limited to the industrial sector, as you can see, and in part, mainly in the production chain or the supply chain of the automotive industry. Because of that, if we go to page number eight, well, now we start sharing the results in the concession areas, both in 2008 overall and in the fourth quarter. Starting in 2008, we can show you here an important remark. You will see two figures here in the comparisons. Sales in the concession area, 5.5% or 3.9%, the upper figure. With the for comparison purposes of our assets, which are Jaguariúna, this is not going to happen in the fourth quarter because we already had Jaguariúna, but in the comparison between the years, year on year, it is important to stress this. So 3.9%, and with the effects of the Jaguariúna acquisition, 5.5%, reaching a little bit more than 49,000 gigawatts hour in the concession area. On the right, you have the behavior of the captive market in the residential segment, 8.2% and 6.8% on the same comparison basis, and commercial, 5.4%, the result for the year of 2008, the industry 2.3, industrial 2.3, which is captive, which is billed directly by the distribution companies, and the other segments, 1.1%. In the TUSD, the distribution system usage tariff, which corresponds to the light green on the chart, we saw a growth of 3.7% on the same basis. So from the viewpoint of energy sales, in spite of the impact of the fourth quarter, it is still very positive. And you can see that comparing the regions, whereas the southern region grows 0.4, 0.2, the distribution of the CPFL RGE grows 5.4%. In the southeast, we have 3.3% increase, and the seven CPFL distribution companies, 3.7%. And Brazil in 2008, in sales of energy, 3.8% increase, and the CPFL group growing by 3.9% in the distribution system. On the right, we can see the free market sales, practically stable, affected very strongly by the fourth quarter. If it were not for that, it would have grown on an annual basis. And in the total energy sales of 3.9% and stability, 5.5% and the stability of the free market, it leads us to total energy sales of 46,227 gigawatts hour. So it is a major behavior regarding growth. It's a vigorous growth, higher than the other regions, and this is what justifies the results obtained by CPFL in 2008. Now let's get into more details about the fourth quarter on page number 9, because this is a quarter that we should examine very closely because of the effects of the crisis during this quarter. Growth does occur, 2.3% growth in the total value, but you can see that in the captive market, 4.4%, but in the free market, a drop of 4.3%. And this shows the impact on major corporations and large corporations due to the fact that they operate in the free market with a higher flexibility. They end up adjusting their production more quickly than the others. But you can see that in the captive market on the right, the crisis practically hasn't arrived yet in some sectors. So we have the residential sector continuing to grow by 8%. And the comparison basis here is with Jaguariúna, both in 2007 and 2008 in the fourth quarter. In the commercial area, 6.9%, a major growth as well. Industrial affected by the crisis, as I said, but still showing some growth by 1.6%. And the other sectors, 1% growth, which are basically city administrations and public lighting, etc., and the TUSD, which shows the behavior by large free consumers, dropping by 4.3%, and with no direct impact on the billings of distribution companies, on the revenues of distribution companies in the free market. CPFL is practically stable, sales dropping by 0.4% only, in such a way that the fourth quarter represents a growth vis-a-vis the same quarter of 07 of 3.4%. You can see that the major impact is limited to the southeastern region, where we have most of the large industries, São Paulo, Minas, automotive companies and steel, etc. 1.5%, distribution companies of the group 2.4%, and in the south region 2.2% for us, 2.2% overall, and 1.9% for CPFL. Brazil growing 2.5% and the group 2.3% increase. So this is a snapshot of the fourth quarter, which is the crisis quarter. Now I would like to say a few words in a proactive manner about the breakdown of the industrial market so that we may see more clearly the segments that are represent part of the sales by the CPFL Energia companies. You can see that industrial sector is very scattered. The major concentration is in the metallurgical sector, differently from other companies, food 15%, chemicals 10%. These are the major segments that are serviced by the group. And here's some important information. From the viewpoint of our revenues, and I said that the impact is only small, the reduction in demand by consumers can only be carried out the order and the filling of the order after 180 days after the order is placed. This is the reason why we will not see over the next few months any major movements regarding reduction of our revenues because of the effect of consumption drops, mainly by large consumers. In commercialization and generation, they use energy to sell in the free market, and the contracts that are bilateral between the commercialization agent and the free consumers, they usually have an average take or pay of the contracts, in our case of 96%. But it is common to see this higher than 90%. So we see a direct impact on consumption drop, but it is modulated or it is minimized because the maximum reduction in our case is of 4%, and on average it is 10%, as I said. In generation, 100% of the energy that we produce is contracted in the long term. Purchase power agreement signed without possibility of reduction. So in generation, there is no impact whatsoever. In distribution, there could be some impact because of the behavior by the segments that are detailed in the pie chart, but not immediately. And in commercialization, we are very strong, and we are even stronger than the rest of the market. It is important to stress that the effect on the right, which until December 2008, when the crisis was very serious, no major customer requested a reduction in the contracted energy demand. And we start to understand the reason for that in the next few figures. We can see that on page 11, we service some automotive companies, and the major impact occurred in the green area that you see in December, where we saw a drop of 50%. You can see that in early January, this drop is reduced to 16%, and today we sell automobiles practically at the same level of licensee, daily licensee, as we had in February 2008. So these variations and these charts, you can see each point on the lines represents 1 week from April 2008 to February 2009. So you can see that each one of these dots represents a week. And on February 15th, you can see that last year we had Carnival before the usual date, but they're very close here, getting close here. Metallurgy, which is an important producer of inputs to the automotive industry, this is even more clear, 37% to 23%. And these are the sectors that are the most affected by the crisis, and although they have incentives of IPI and also financing, and the industry has been picking up lately. And we look on page number 12, we see why this drop in consumption, and I would like to remind you that the market is very pulverized, it's very scattered. and we see important segments such as food, beverages, and beef already operating at higher levels than 2008. You can see the blue one in 2009 and the red one in 2008, the same period. So you can see that the sector felt some impact, 1% impact. But this year, you can see that consumption is already higher than 7%. Pulp, paper, and packaging sectors that characterize the return of consumption. In Brazil, a drop by 13% in December and already picking up from January 25th to February 15th with a growth of 2% already. So you can see that these are important elements. Some of the industries are very much affected, and the government has been acting very quickly and in a very wise manner. And some sectors that benefit from the Brazilian consumer market that had an improvement in income levels and the overall salaries and increase also in financing. And this trends to become stronger now. And in March, minimum wage will be growing by 6.6% in real terms. So the outlook is for a continuation of this movement, which, as you could have been reading in the media, Brazil stands out in the media because the crisis has affected neither the residential nor the commercial segments. And in the industrial segment, we already see some improvement, and in some other cases, the government are paying a lot of attention. So let's go to page number 13 with details of our results for the fourth quarter. We see net revenues dropping by 4%. The net revenues reported in the fourth quarter of 2007 to 628. And with details about this, the liability of free energy, which is a non-recurrent event. And we see very small variations here with a drop by 36 million reais in revenues related to growth of 3.4% in sales, but strongly impacted by the reduction of 11% in our tariffs for our distribution companies and deriving from tariff reviews. And the provision at the end of the year, we received the net remuneration base by RGE with amounts that were lower than the ones that existed before and very quickly be provisioned for the difference of 26 million, and 17 million of these are non-recurrent. In this behavior, we also see a reduction in the TUSD revenues, but not by volume. It is because of the effects of the negative adjustment of the tariff. It is rather proportional to this, and it shows that during the year, we still saw a growth in this volume, not in the fourth quarter, but in the rest of the year. So we see a reduction of only 6.4% in these revenues. Reduction by 22% in other revenues. With the growth of SVAs and CPFL Total, with value added. And finally, net revenues for apportation of Parcel A, 28 million. So the results are rather stable in spite of a reduction in the energy tariff that stems from the tariff review. And here we have the agreement signed in January with the transmission and generation companies, where we bring these non-recurrent revenues that they get into revenues and they get off in expenses, so with a zero effect for the company. So the recurrent effect, non-recurrent effect would be 13%, 13.5% drop. Now page number 14, where we have details of EBITDA, also making these remarks. In EBITDA, We have a non-recurrent effect of 8.5% and reported 10.5% with a drop of 82 million reais. This is due to a 4% reduction in net revenues, as I have just said, an increase of 3.7% in the energy cost and charges. It is important to say that the market grew and the tariff decreased, so we had to buy more energy, and these 3.7% increase of 48 million reals stem from this, the positive effect of the reduction by 3.3% in operating costs and expenses with the ongoing effort that we make to increase productivity in the companies of the group, 11 million. And we would like to stress some reversals in our allowance for loan losses, our delinquency. So our delinquency rate is already close to 1% for the group, reduction of expenses with advertising and the company adapting itself to the new moment of more austerity, so to say, and increase in our personnel costs, our payroll, 12 million reals, mainly due to the restructuring process concluded in Jaguariúna and Santa Cruz, and I'm going to talk in detail about that. And amortization of Parcel A, as I said before, of 2001, of energy acquired, free energy.
So we have here 699 million total, mentioning particularly these non-recurring elements. In other words, the free energy, the write-off, and also the agreement regarding the cost of the use of the distribution center system of the generation plants, which I have mentioned before. So that gives us a total of 700 million. And finally then, let's talk about net income. We have 336 million reals, which compares to 370 last year's figure. And this is directly affected by the EBITDA, which stems from the following. In spite of the growth of consumption, there was a tariff reduction. So 82 million is this particular effect. Financial result, negative 39 million. This financial result is affected because our investments grow in 6 million with more cash, but we have begun to incorporate these financial expenses of the two plants which started up Castro Alves on the 14th of July. And then finally, the good thing about the EBITDA reduction in financial result is the counterpart of income tax and social contribution on net income. Lower operating result gives us lower income tax. And in the comparison of the quarters, we have a gain of 13 of this amount. And then 13 million for depreciation, amortization, and pension plan, 30 million reals. So we are reporting a drop of 9.3%. If we had not had the recurrent effect of that provision that I mentioned, the result would be a 6.6%, as we have mentioned before. And finally, on page 16, we have a better overview of the performance during 2008 of each one of the three businesses at which the company is positioned. The EBITDA regarding the operating income of the company is strongly concentrated on distribution, which, as from the tariff review processes in the eight distributors, it loses a share, dropping from 73% to 64%. But at the same time, the other two activities that the company is well positioned in, that is to say, generation, with the coming in of two plants and also the repowering of two small, or SPPs, goes from 17% to 23%. And in commercialization of energy and services, which come from a growth strategy, particularly in the service area, we have increased our share from 10% to 13%. This gives us, as you may see down below, a recurring margin or EBITDA of 33.3% and at the beginning of the term, and then, or the quarter, and then 30.3%. And here you can see how this EBITDA has grown or dropped. The distribution EBITDA has dropped in the quarter because of the tariff review. The increase of the generation EBITDA by 18%, particularly here because of Castro Alves, because the 14th of July it came into operation the last, but has not yet been affected totally by the 14th of July, or the 14th de Julio plant. We will see this during the quarter. And in the commercialization, increasing from 76 to 82 million, growth of 20 million because of the strategy that I have shared with you about services. So we have had an important reduction of the distributors of 22%, and the result in the quarter is a drop of 10%, giving us 700 million reals. On page 17, with the net income and dividends, 1,208,000,000, or 2.52 per share, we closed a yield in this period of 7.3, as you can see on the chart on the right, at an average value of the share of 33.18. So a payout of 660 million reals regarding this quarter, a total of 1,208 for 2008, reminding you that this is something which has been going on right from the end of 2004. We've had the shares right from 2004, and those who entered at the time of the IPO have had a dividend yield of 64% in 4 years. In the comparison of our share with other indexes on page 18, we may see that the company has had a small drop during 1908 of 3.4% as compared to the IEE index of 11.6 and IBOVESPA dropping 41.2%. Therefore, our shares have been very strong in spite of the crisis. In the United States, also due to the effects which have come about because of the exchange variation, it drops 25% as compared to the Dow Jones Brazilian Titans of the largest ADRs, Brazilian IDRs traded in New York, of 53%, and Dow Jones 33%. And we must make special mention in 2008, as a defensive action of the investors, the company has increased its average daily volume and has high indexes in the IBX and the IBOVESPA, trading 65 million. Between Bovespa and New York. And as I had mentioned on page 19, we may see the conclusion of the restructuring process of Santa Cruz and Jaguariúna. And this also happens at the same time as we have definitely concluded the tariff reviews of these particular distributors. And here you have the main figures regarding sales of energy. In 2 years, these companies have grown between 12 and 13%. Delinquency has dropped more than 20% in each one of them. And productivity increases, but the number of employees, the headcount, drops 35% in each one of them. This giving us gains of 8.4 million reals. On page 20, we also have here the conclusion of the Ceram plants. And Monte Claro came into operation in 2004, and last year the other two, Castro Alves and the 14 de Julio. In March, they will be inaugurated with the presence of the President of the Republic. And the main figures show us that this is an undertaking of 360 megawatts, and CPFL, that has 65%, has 234 megawatts, 112 average. An investment of CPFL of 900 million reals, and annual revenue of 121, reminding you that these plants are completely automated, extremely efficient, and they work with a net EBITDA margin of 85-90%. So this amount of, well, this is converted into operating income. And also here on page 21, I will report about the status of the very large undertaking, the Foz do Chapecó plant. right on schedule, in fact, ahead. And this plant, as you may see in each one of these photos, we started building this plant in December of 2006, beginning just the start of 2007, and here December 07, 24% of the building done, and December of last year, 60% already completed. And this may be clearly shown here with the different technical aspects, and where we have the largest spillway in Brazil, it loses out only to Tucuruí. So this is a very, very large spillway, more than 2.2 billion reals invested, half of them under the responsibility of CPFL, that last year invested 367 million in this particular plot. And here we also have a follow-up of the CPFL Bioenergia. Here you can see the thermoelectric, the cogeneration in the Baldin plant. It's already ongoing. We have already built 25% of this in February, and we will conclude, as I have said, by March of next year, as I had already mentioned. An investment of 100 million reals and a cogeneration plant of 45 megawatts. And here we will have CPFL Brazil will have 24 megawatts per harvest. So it's well ahead, and we are now evaluating also other projects for the next, in the next quarters we will be showing you what the proposal of the CPFL is to carry out an investment pipeline so as to lead the bioenergy sector in Brazil. And as I have said also on page 23, a very important report to share with you regarding the strategy of CPFL Brazil and its subsidiaries regarding commercialization of energy and services, so as to bring about greater power of the service area, to bring more loyalty of the major consumers. And as you can see on the right-hand side, in value-added services and contracts signed with consumers and enterprises, last year we signed 359 contracts, with sales of 105 million reals. 20% of this built last year, 2008, and you may see down below the major growth, or the great growth that this area has experienced, a growth of 64% in the revenue of these services, totaling 80 million reals. But of these 80 million reals, only 21 have to do or refer to the portfolio or that we have signed. The other 84 million are to be still developed throughout 2009. And this is also strengthened by the CPFL Total. This is a company which wishes to make the life of consumers easier, not only energy consumers, but also telephone, mobile phones, sanitation, etc. This company has already about 1,000 points of service, and 2.5 million transactions have been carried out per quarter, more than 1 million per month at this particular time, and a net revenue in the fourth quarter, or gross revenue, of 2,830 million reals. So this growth has now expanded and spread to Rio Grande do Sul so as to cover and meet the needs of all the consumers of the group's companies. But we must mention that in this group of transactions, only one-third has to do with energy consumers of the CPFL group. The others, 65%, have to do with payments of the house tax, mobile telephones, sanitation, water bills, whatever, and others that are mentioned. So these then are very important services also so as to reduce the delinquency of the distributors, because the consumer's life becomes much easier. They have greater access to points of service, and they can pay for their utilities in a more comfortable way. And to close, I have two reports, starting on page 24, regarding the debt profile of our group. There has been actually a very slight variation in the last quarter, 5,550,000,000 650. Net debt showing us cash and cash equivalents of 738 million, and the total final debt of 6 billion. 378. We have had a growth of our debt of net debt of 5.1 billion to 5.65, at the same time as we had a reduction of EBITDA because of the tariff review. Here we have adjusted net debt over EBITDA of twofold. We must mention that if we discount that we have all the financing of the 14 de Julho plant, which was concluded at the end of the year, and Foz do Chapecó, which is coming into operation next year, more than 700 million without the production of EBITDA. If we normalize this index for the future EBITDA regarding what these plants will bring about, and the 14 de Julho is already producing, this would really be 1.76 instead of 2.01, this index. On page 25, we have the breakdown of this debt regarding the increase of the CDI at the end of the year and the major share that we have of 56% in CDI and also operations 2770, which was swapped for CDIs. We had a slight increase of this debt on a nominal basis and a real basis, but still very low of 8% on a real basis and 13.9% on a nominal basis. Reminding you once again that this company has the largest rating in this sector, AA by Standard & Poor's. On page 26, the breakdown of CapEx. Last year, we closed above 1 billion reais invested through organic growth, and we are keeping up the steam. We will have investments this year of over 1 billion reais, as has been already approved by the board, and 738 million reais for distribution and 429 in generation, hydroelectric, and 68 for thermal generation, but in fact, cogeneration with Queima de Gás. About 500 million reais in generation and 738 in distribution. Forecasting investments, as you may see, growing investments in distribution as well throughout the next 4 years. Here, we have mentioned only the generation investments in green that have already been contracted. As we finish the building of all the different plants, obviously these amounts that are mentioned here will be increased as we have the approval of new projects and the participation of new generation plants. These are investments for the next few years of 5 billion reais. Basically, this is what we have to say about the fourth quarter of 2008, and my team and I are now at your disposal for your questions. Thank you very much. We would now like to go on to our Q&A session. To ask a question, please dial star one. To remove your question from the list, press star two. Our first question comes from Mr. Marcos Siqueira from the Deutsche Bank. Good morning, everybody. A question. With the economic scenario we are experiencing today, and we had at the end of the year, what will be the CPFL strategy for 2009? Will this be a year for another focus on cost cuts because less demand might affect the performance or the current scenario? Will this bring about greater opportunities for your growth or through M&As, or will you take a more conservative approach this year? I would very much like to hear what you say.
Well, the strategy, obviously, with the conclusion and with the definite conclusion of the tariff review process, this is a year for which we have prepared many activities. We've been doing this since last year, so that we can truly bring about a cost reduction. This is the basic strategy aligned to the conclusion of the tariff review process, so we have 4 or 5 years in some cases, to truly add value through the better performance and productivity. So through different activities, I have detailed some of them and some of the effects of the activities to be taken in the small concessionaires, but obviously the greatest impact will come from the conclusion of Paulista, Piratininga and RGE, the largest distributors. And this is the year that we will implement new technologies and further detailing, well, the conclusion of CCS and the billing management system and service systems and the service center, which will be shared so that we can be more focused and be more effective regarding materials acquisition and hiring, etc. This has all come from the creation of the job of operations officer or vice president, and also we have the areas of IT, of purchasing, procurement, and stock management, vehicle and fixed asset management, many, many things which stem from the implementation of projects which we imagined possible to start up this year and also for next year. So this is a moment certainly of developing efficiency and perform above the benchmarks that we have. And also it is a time to pay a lot of attention to things. The tariff review process has been concluded, but this brings about new prospects for all companies. Obviously, it is up to the agency to lay down more efficient standards, more challenging, in fact, for each one of the operators and distributors, and this, we are a group which focuses particularly on this business, and also because of the difficulties of this new level. And so it is a moment that the consolidation processes will be made easier, and because of the new parameters, we may realize that it is those who have the best performance, who they will be, and who are those who are going to start losing money as they cannot meet or surpass or overcome the standards laid down by the regulator. So this is a moment where consolidations become more possible, and we continue to be very alert and pay a lot of attention to this. As Brazil has concentrated on few players, you have a greater, a group of distribution with less than 14%. If we bring together the three greatest, largest groups, we will have a concentration level of 30-odd%. If we have CPFL together with the IRS and the CEMIGI groups, reminding you that in consolidated countries, the three largest groups are more than 60% and sometimes 70%, because it is the logic of concentration and scale that this industry has to have so as to be able to produce, on the one hand, better service, on the other hand, good, reasonable tariffs. Therefore, we have financial capacity, as has been shown, because of the low leverage level that we have. We have good liquidity of our shares. This is a group which I think is in a good position as far as this goes. This is the only state group, the Novo Mercado, ADR at level 3, 40 million reals a day, being traded, a free float of 28%, excellent corporate governance, well recognized and awarded. So we are very careful about this. And on the other hand, the strategy is complemented by generation. As I have said, we started a bioenergy undertaking, and we think that we will be able to share with us in the market in the next few quarters. This activity is very important because it brings about the possibility to commercialize the group's energy in a market which has everything to grow, which is the group of special consumers. And this is the next step of the free market to continue to grow. It has today 25% of the sales volume of Brazil, but it can achieve, let's say, 35 or 40% through the use of renewable energies encouraged by bioenergy and wind energy and small hydroelectric plants, we can meet the demands of these plants. CPFL is also very important here, leading the free market, and its intention is to consolidate its extension, bringing about investments in small hydroelectric plants and bioenergy. And obviously, even more than that, to pay lots of attention to large undertakings which might come through this year. Here I would like to mention the Belo Monte. The company is already well positioned and analyzing this particular project, and we are also studying environmental aspects for a plant in the south, and one will probably go out to tender this year. So our prospects at the moment, as I have said, are for investment for growth, organic growth and non-organic growth as well, and also through acquisitions, mergers and acquisitions, obviously if they make sense and should they become available, and through financial capacity and liquidity of the CPFL stocks, this will occur as well. I know that I extended my answer, but I think it was important to give you all these details. In the case of the distributors, RGE and Piratininga, they are already coming from a level of efficiency level higher than that of other subsidiaries. Can you quantify, please, how much you expect regarding cost cuts of these subsidiaries? No, I prefer to share the plans as we have the tariff review concluded. So the signs sent out through the application of the PC 52 or through the approval of the investment schedule, which is approved by NEO together with Factor X. I think this gives us a V0, which is necessary to establish a more detailed plan, but I cannot give you the full figures at the moment. Our next question comes from Mr. Fabiano Custodio from Credit Suisse. Good morning. Thank you for the call. My question has to do with the tariff reduction produced by Enel for Paulista and RGE. I would like to know what you think about the risk in Piratininga, Jaguariúna, Santa Cruz, and the other companies of the group. Should something marginal happen as the Paulista and RGE, or would there be something different presenting a rate of risk? And possibly, if you could give us a follow-up regarding the positioning of 180 or the investment of 185 million in the first quarter of 2008 regarding the CPFL Brazil. The argument at the time was that this would make a lot of sense. I want to know if there's a prospect of how much, you know, this will be. Can you tell us a little bit about that? Well, with the last part of your question first. In fact, we sent a request to the agency, and this is obviously being discussed, and there is no particular deadline for this. Generally, the deadline will be with the conclusion of the tariff review. We imagine that this can be considered, the different elements of the argument of the company at the conclusion of the tariff review process, which will occur in April. This is our main hope, because when this process is concluded, all of this should ideally be solved. This is not a certainty, but I think we could hope for this. Regarding the benchmark company that you mentioned, in the case of Santa Cruz and Jaguariúna, the AP52 has been wholly applied together with the concepts of a basis of net remuneration. So these companies have had their review concluded. In the case of Paulista and Piratininga, our basis is already protected, and there's nothing to do with that. It's already closed. What was still open and making the reviews temporary, not only of these but the other three as well, is the fact that in the case of RGE, the basis had yet not been calibrated, or it was still temporary, and at a higher or for a higher amount, at a higher level, and the AP52 being applied for the three companies. Regarding the basis, the initial understanding of the agency, and This goes on in an interactive process, but the agency has already said regarding how this basis will be judged, and they have offered a basis which was lower than the one that is temporary now, which has been applied now. This was mentioned on the balance sheet of 2008. Regarding the investment of the application of the AP52 regarding these benchmark companies, this is temporary, but this is a process which is being negotiated. So as with all processes of tariff review with the agency, so I do not see any greater risk regarding the application of these amounts. There has been a reduction incorporation of part of the agency's conclusions regarding these new parameters, but this is not relevant.
Our next question comes from Mr. Subhoti Daripa from Morgan Stanley. Good morning. I have two questions. One is more strategic and political, so to say. You mentioned that in April we'll have the shareholders meeting, and correct me if I'm wrong, I believe that your contract will be expiring in April as well. With the change that will come about, I would like to understand, what is your professional outlook? Are you starting to talk with the controlling shareholders and management to renew the contract? So how you see your future at CPFL the next few years, and if this change will have some impact on CPFL as it is today? This is the first question. The second question is the following. Could you explain CAPEX for 2009 and 10? I believe that for 2009 in distribution there was a drop because of a review in volumes, etc., but for 10, there was a significant leap, 130 million reals additional, which were not in the previous guidance. So exactly what is causing this increase in CAPEX for distribution? Thank you for the question. And I would like to say that, starting by the first question, the change because of Votorantim and Camargo Correa's situation continues to be VVC. The strategy that I have been sharing with the market is a strategy that is shared with the representatives of this group, the shareholders of this company. And it was confirmed by Camargo Correa when the process of acquisition of Votorantim's interest was finalized. The company believes in the sector. It believes in the company as a leader in the process for consolidation purposes, and it confirms the strategy, any strategy. So it is important to reaffirm the strategy that has been shared with the capital market so far by CPFL. CPFL is a group that originates in distribution, and we believe that this is our major specialization from the management viewpoint, but it had, in the last 5 years mainly, a relevant role to play in terms of growth and even to diversify risk in the sector, in commercialization as well. And we lead commercialization together with distribution and in generation as well, where now we have already reached 1,700 megawatts. And if you can see in the ranking, today we rank fourth among private companies in generation. With generation, we will go up to the third position. And the agents that are above us, they are just, you know, static, and we are growing. So this company tends to become very quickly the second in generation. CPFL is a group that really aims at becoming the leader in all the sectors that we operate. So this is why we are aligned with our shareholders. Our strategy was confirmed very explicitly by Camargo Correa when they closed the deal of the acquisition, and undoubtedly it trusts the executives of the company, who are the ones who really put in place the strategy. So all the signals are that we will continue. Of course, our contract will be ending in April, and we are already negotiating. But the negotiation is rather simple because we are all willing to continue this platform, and the challenges that are being submitted to us are challenges that really are very good for us as executives. We believe that in the last 5 years, CPFL had a major presence, but CPFL can become a bigger and consolidating even further this participation, and CPFL needs its executives, not only myself, but all the members of the executive committee, Filippo, Paulo César, Eliviana, Miguel Saad, Marco Chaves. So each one of us leading each one of our units, and together the growth perspectives will be executed and realized. And we have been meeting with a people committee that we have, personnel committee, and they have already given us some positive signals regarding the renewal of our contract. So this is just one detail, and in April this will be signed. You asked about CapEx, and just to justify, so CapEx, in 2009 we must pay attention to liquidity, of course, and we also may pay attention to the volumes of investments approved by ANEEL in the tariff cycle. So what we did, and in the view that, in the vision that we had later in 2008 when we had our strategic plan approved, and this is still a discussion underway with ANEEL about the investments to be made. So we placed $1.2 billion investments, which is an important effort to conclude for Chapecó, and also a supplementary amount, a minimum amount in distribution, considering an outlook that is not yet confirmed. And I would like to make this very clear from the market viewpoint. We believe that the market this year will grow an additional 3.2%, and I believe that the GDP will grow by 2% at least, and the amounts related to 2010 have to do with a whole set of construction works that are being contracted this year, and part of them will be delivered by 2010. So if the industry is capable to implement all these processes in 1 year, we will probably need a higher investment in 2009. However, this is not the fact, and in some cases this couldn't be justified. So we made a set of important acquisitions at the end of the year, over 15 substations to reinforce our platforms, and they have their deadlines for delivery between 9 and 18 months. And this is what determines most of the investments that are being made more in 2010, and then we will have more cash relief because investments in generation are lower for the conclusion of Foz do Chapecó, and this is what determines the variation from 2009 to 2010. And this is when it gets to levels of R$800 to R$900 million, which is a sustaining level, but the most important investments are already being made. Okay. Thank you. Our next question comes from Mr. Felipe Leal from Merrill Lynch. Good afternoon, Wilson. I have three questions. In the restructuring of Jaguariúna, besides the $47 million tax credit that you have already announced, do you have any other tax credits in the pipeline, and do you intend to migrate minority shareholders from Jaguariúna to the holding company, such as you have done with the other subsidiaries? The second question has to do with the reduction in demand. by industrial consumers. You say that until December there had been no request for that whatsoever, and in March the situation remains unchanged. And I would like to know how you see the outlook for the incorporation of private networks or cooperatives for your concession area. Do you believe that in 2009 there will be some possibilities for that, or just 2010? Felipe, thank you for your question. In what has to do with tax credits, it's only 47 million. In what regards the possible migration, this is something that we will be assessing as we conclude the operation. And in terms of the demand reduction, yes, we had some requests, but they are irrelevant amount-wise, about seven requests for demand reduction, but the amounts involved are really very small. You shouldn't even consider this because the growth, vegetative growth, already exceeds this. In terms of acquisition of private grids and cooperatives, this is another theme that I forgot to talk about when I answered Subo's question. But another amount referring to 2010 is because we are in the final phases of interaction with the regulators in order to define the incorporation, the rules for the incorporation of these networks. And as we didn't have any objective signals regarding 2009, then part of these incorporations were delayed to 2010. And besides the delivery of some substations already contracted by the end of December, we have a higher investment, a slightly higher investment in 2010, also because of that. You know that these incorporations have to be carried out during the tariff period, so there is a very detailed schedule for that, starting in 2010 and not in 2009. And this is one of the reasons why the investments in 2010 are higher. Yes, we do have a major potential for incorporation, and this makes a lot of sense both to us and to consumers. This is something that we will be doing, and our investment already factors this in. And in the case of cooperatives are also going through almost a tariff review of cooperatives, I would say. And as this happens, the signal towards a business deal is stronger. We are assessing two of them in the concession areas of our companies, and of course, I cannot mention which ones, but these are cooperatives where we could acquire the assets, such as is the case with the private companies as well. So it is still in our radar screen. It is relevant. It increases our net basis and increases efficiency to our operations because it gives us more scale, and it also offers a better quality to consumers. And in the experience that we have with cooperatives, we could even give lower tariffs to consumers. So it's a win-win situation because they start being managed by a more efficient company, producing a better quality of service. And as a counterpart, on one hand, you would have the reduction of the tariff itself and also the reverse of these resources, because in cooperatives, the owners are the cooperative members. So there would be a reimbursement that would be given to them. So it is still part of our strategy, and we will continue to focus on it. Our last question comes from Mr. Bruno Pascoal from Citibank. Good morning. I have one question about the Belo Monte project. Given the current credit situation in the country and the increase in the possibility of capital costs because of the crisis, which conditions would be necessary for CPFL to participate in the project? Bruno, thank you for the question. And the project, if a company such as ours that wishes to continue to grow in generation, the Belo Monte project is the project that will allow us to grow in hydroelectric energy between 2014 and 2018, which is the schedule. And this is the project that really adds hydro energy to the country. If you want to grow in this area, you have to be present in the project. And I understand that the conditions that will be the basis for this project are similar to those that were part of the Madeira Santo Antônio and Jirau project. This is project finance that BNDES would be the major source of financing, and this is fundamental for a project of this size, higher than 10,000 megawatts. We would be talking about 20 billion reals overall in rounded numbers. So this is a project that will have about 14 billion in financing and 6 billion in equity to be developed by the companies that participate in the project. And CPFL, we do not fear anything regarding financing because financing has been given by BNDES, and this is something that is in the interest of the country. And I believe that we can count on the participation and financing by the BNDES. On the other hand, regarding the equity part of the deal, of course, this has to do with the strategy of the company to participate in a controlling block, a block that may be formed with over 50% with companies that have characteristics that are similar to CPFL in terms of capacity, in terms of governance, and two or three, or depending. And the company has enough cash generation, as you can see, and it's going to decrease investments in generation, not because we want, but because we are concluding some projects. So we do have the financial capacity. You can see on page 26 that we do have the financial strength to participate in the project. So we would be interested in participating in the controlling block at a level of governance that might be similar to the one that we practice and that is acknowledged by all of you. And, of course, continuing with a group that has private participation mainly. And we believe that CPFL may participate, have a relevant participation in the project. Thank you. I got a question here by email, and I'm going to read it. André Trin, about the possibility of reduction of contracts on the part of distribution clients. 180 days is valid for all clients, both captive and free, or just for part of these clients? Well, only the so-called Group A clients, consumers that have demand contracts, and it is valid for captive clients only, captive consumers only. No, captive and free, I'm sorry, for both captive and free. Now we close the question and answer session, and I would like to give the floor to Mr. Wilson Ferreira Jr. for his final considerations. Okay, so once again, I would like to thank you all for participating in this call so that we could share the results of 2008 and the fourth quarter of 2008 with all investors and analysts. And I would like to reiterate that the company's strategy, as I said before, the group has in its DNA the distribution function and with a major capacity for value creation and with a very well-defined strategy focused on the consolidation of the sector, something that is very important, not only for the group, but for consumers and for the government as well. And I would like to reiterate that we intend to continue to grow in generation as well, using mainly renewable energy for our growth basis. We had 140 megawatts installed 7 years ago, and we have 1,700, and we are going to 2,200 next year. So you see that we grew more than 15-fold over 8 years. And we have the financial capacity and the technical capacity to continue to grow in this area as well with intelligence and also focusing on commercialization. And we believe in the country. We believe in the country. We believe in the sector in the country because of a whole set of elements. Okay, this is a moment of crisis. However, this is a moment in which those of us who work in infrastructure, we must turn our eyes to the long term. And the long term for Brazil really fills us with trust, trust in its growth, and the company works to sustain this growth. And also we trust the country's institutions. So based on a good regulatory framework, and it has been improving over the years, we can show the value of efficiency, the value of technology, the value of sustainability, many values. And right now, it's a moment of austerity. This is a moment when it is important for companies to share good practices and that further inspire us to focus on the long term. So we have a program underway with major reductions in the consumption of water, of telephone usage, and the consumption of paper. All our instruments are electronic. We rationalize the cost of travel and even car travel. And we have a very important menu that is being implemented this year and that will further reinforce our earnings. This is a very positive view. We trust the country, we trust the sector, we trust the executive committee of the company. And I believe that we will achieve sustainable growth, and with a contribution, we will each one of us play a role in order to reach this goal. So we will meet you at APIMEC today or in other conference calls that we might have in the future. The CPFL Energia conference call is closed, and we thank you very much for your participation and wish you all a very good afternoon. Thank you very much.